Acts chapter 26, we continue our look here at the Apostle Paul, the salvation, conversion of Saul and his call to the ministry, or the Apostle Paul as he became came to be known. And here in chapter 26, we left off last time with him here before Agrippa, Bernice, and Felix that is there. He's the, Festus rather, I get those guys mixed up. Festus came after Felix. And so they're there. Paul has appealed to Caesar, and Festus took him as prisoner, as handed over to him by Felix. And we saw in chapter 25 where the Jews talked to Festus about his situation. And Agrippa was coming by, king of Judea, as we understand, and other expanded regions about. This Bernice, as we understand historically, is his sister. And so there's some things there historically that if you take a look at it, probably not do you well about their situation. We'll not spend time on that. But Paul is here, and he gives his testimony, and he gives a witness of how the Lord had visited him. Oh, I'm sorry that does that. I don't know why that does that. I wish I knew why that did that. I'm gonna have to look and see if I can make it. I'm gonna have to look and see if I can make it do it when you're not here. That's gonna be the problem to try to figure it out why. Nevertheless, he's here in chapter 26, and he tells how the Lord about his history, how he was brought up, the things that he pursued, how he was contrary in verse number 9 of chapter 26, was contrary and did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And in verse number 10, we saw there at the end of the verse, when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I just want to make mention about that. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17 real quick. We might see about how that is and how the Jews would structure themselves. Remember, when they delivered the Lord Jesus Christ up to Pilate, the Jews couldn't put any man to death. And the scripture bears out that there in the book of John, John chapter 18, I believe it is, how that the Lord was delivered over to the hands of the Romans, thus fulfilling the prophecy that he gave, that he spake in the day of his ministry, that he would be lifted up, that he would be crucified. And that the Jews, if they put anybody to death, how would they put someone to death? They'd stone them. But the prophecy was is that they would be crucified. So you can take a look at that at John chapter 18. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse number 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. And so Paul says in Acts 26, verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He was one of those two witnesses. And as we know the account, when he went to Damascus, there were others that went with him, as he's going to tell about again. And it came to a point, folks, it came to a point after the Lord Jesus Christ had come, his ministry, he was crucified, he was buried, he rose from the dead and was there with the saints. And for that 40 days that he taught them and preached to them and illuminated them, the church there, that, and then he was received up into heaven, and then Pentecost came about. From that time to this time of Saul, when he got busy about trying to destroy the church and destroy the way of the Lord, the Christians became expendable, okay? Because they had to take the Lord to Pilate to get him killed, to get him put to death. But it seems that something has changed, and now Paul tells about the time that he was very busy about that. He comes on down here to verse number 14. This is where we left off last time. And when we were all fallen to the earth, those and of Saul's company, Paul's company at the time before he was saved, or at the time the Lord's going to save him here, they fall to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. And that's another revelation about the Lord speaking there in Acts chapter 9, and how that we have that account there that Luke, writing the book of Acts, tells us that the Lord spoke in the Hebrew tongue. And this would get the attention of the Jews. This would get another subtle thing that would get their attention. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so Saul, as in his own account here, putting those of the Lord, putting those that behaved and operated Christ-like, those that were after that sect, those that were after that way, those that followed after this Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus says, you are persecuting me by doing this to them. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And we've looked at that, how the word of God, the witness of the Lord's people, was no doubt used by the Lord on Saul. And as the Lord worked on him and worked on him and sought to convict him and moved upon him. Verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? Because he's submitted. Whoever this is that's shown this light about him, and whoever it is that's speaking to him, he knows that he is in control. And he wants to know his name. He wants to know who he is. He wants to get that confirmation of it. He says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answers, and he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And it's over with for Saul at that point. The Lord's touched him. The Lord's visited him. The Lord's saved him. Just in that instance, I believe. But rise, verse 16, and stand on thy feet, upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Number one, to make thee a minister and a witness. Number two, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So there's some things, these things that have happened. It said, Paul, Saul, I want you to tell about this day. And so we've seen that in the apostles' witness, and that's the whole reason for this taking a look at this part or this account of his life and this part of the apostle Paul's life is so that we might understand how that we might be a witness of what the Lord's done for us to others. Paul, he didn't do anything, didn't have this great oratory that he prepared in advance or a bunch of things that he put together, but he told about how the Lord dealt with him. And that's what each and every one of us that the Lord saved and put in his church, that's what we have to tell to folks. Tell how Jesus visited us. He says, I want you to tell about both of these things which thou hast seen right now. You're seeing right now, right here on the road to Damascus, and the things which I will appear unto thee. And we've seen in our consideration of him and in other studies, our study on Sunday night, we took a look about how the Apostle Paul said there that the Lord had brought him to a point that infirmities and things, challenges, difficulties, hardship that would just show his weakness, how he had been brought to a point by the Lord that he rejoiced in his infirmity because he knew it was another opportunity for the Lord's power to show in his life. That's how he had come to that point. The Lord had brought him to that point, and he learned those things. He tells there in that latter part of that second, I believe it's the second 2 Corinthians, there at the end where we took a look at that account, there around chapter 12, he says, in speaking to the church at Corinth, he tells about his qualification, his calling as an apostle, the things that he's endured. And he's saying, would I endure all these hardships and speak to you about things that stir you up, bother you, trouble you, even make you mad, church at Corinth? Would I do this if I wasn't seeking your good? Why would I suffer so just to abuse you? But I suffer so to encourage you to those things that are right and they're good in the Lord. And because there were those in the church at Corinth that they didn't think that he had the authority as an apostle. They didn't like his witness and his testimony of being an apostle. They didn't like his authority of being able to speak to them about the things that he spoke to them about that they needed help and correction with. But he tells about how the Lord appeared to him and things that he showed him and those things that he suffered. And that's what he's speaking about, I believe, here. Of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He says, I'm taking you out and I'm going to send you to them. I'm going to sanctify you. I'm sanctifying you for this work, delivering thee from the people. He says, I'm going to take you out of Judaism and I've saved your soul and I'm going to send you back to them. You'll be a witness to them. And also you're going to be a witness to the Gentiles. Verse 18, why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness. And remember, he's speaking to King Agrippa. He's speaking to Bernice. He's speaking there to Festus. He's speaking to that group that is there to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith that's in me. That's what I'm sending you to do, Saul. That's what I've been sent by the Lord to do, the Apostle Paul proclaims, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. He says, I'm sending you to open their eyes. And we know by the account, he preaches, he teaches, he's a witness in every place that he goes, isn't he? When he enters into the town, he would go to the synagogue and speak to the Jews. And then if they received it, well, and then maybe others would hear, even Gentiles, which wouldn't be turned away. But then if the Jews rejected it, he would certainly turn to the Gentiles and preach to them. Preach to them what? Preach to them of Jesus. Preach to them of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. And salvation through him and everlasting life and forgiveness of sins through him. You know, that's what we're to preach. That's what we're to teach. Individually, as his children. Individually as his children, to witness to those around us, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, those that we work with, go to school with, those that we come in contact with, to speak to them of Jesus and what he's done for us. Amen. So that their eyes might be opened. We can't open their eyes, but the word of God, through the power of God, can. Amen. It did us. It visited us. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's what the word of God does. And from the power of Satan unto God. That's what salvation is. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. That they may receive an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith. He said, there's those that have been saved, that I've already saved. He said, and son, I'm sending you to others that I'll save and you'll be a witness too. That they may be sanctified with them by faith that is in me, in Jesus, in Jesus. Oh, for us to the church at Laodicea was visited by the Lord through the message that he gave John the Revelator to give to them. He said, you've left your first love. Church at Ephesus, I'm sorry, the first church. You've left your first love. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we must keep that in our eyes. I'm sorry, it's a church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus must be preeminent in our lives.
Amen.
And we know, we show, and we what Jesus believes and what Jesus thinks is what we need to believe and what we need to think. But we need to first be in love with him.
Right.
With him.
Amen.
Because he first loved us.
Right.
It's a walk with Jesus. Amen. The doctrine of the Lord we certainly need to know and line up with, because that's how we know and can operate and move pleasing to the Lord, by His doctrine, by His way.
Amen.
But we need to love the Lord, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to walk with Him as we would a closest friend that we would have on this earth, yet the Lord being a greater friend than that. We need to walk with Him that way. And there in Acts chapter 26, He says, "That's what I want you to do." And Paul gives that account to them. He says what the Lord said to him. Verse 19, Acts 26:19. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Jesus told me to do it. He revealed unto me." Isn't that what the Lord does to us? He reveals that He is Lord. He reveals to us that He's Savior. He reveals to us that He's the way. He said, "And I was convinced of it. I was done. It was," he said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." To repent, to believe, to trust in Jesus Christ. He's going to tell more about that. They repent and return to God. Turn to God how? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ just said it. Faith in me. Faith in me. That I came for them. That I suffered for them. That I bled and died, was buried, and rose again for them. He says that they should repent and turn to God and do works for me for repentance. That this salvation of the Lord is a change from the time that the Lord saves them here on out. He says, "My life's been changed. My life's been turned." He says here earlier in this chapter, he said, if those Jews that are here today would testify to that account, they would tell you how good of a Jew I was. He said, "But my life's been changed because the Lord has changed it."
Amen.
And that is the message that He bid me preach, and that I preach even to you here today. Verse 21, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, because of this obedience and that, this obedience of following what the Lord said, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great." Every chance I get, whether it's a man considered to be of little worth to the world, I tell him about how the Lord saved me and visited me. And if he be even king over our nation, as you are today, a great man, I tell him about how the Lord visited and saved me. Because you know what? I want that for you, King Agrippa. I want that for you. And he's going to tell that here in a bit. "Having therefore obtained help of God," verse 22, "I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great." You know, and that's what we need to do. If we find somebody that's a total stranger, that's just working behind the counter at a gas station, they may be easy to witness to, huh? You find some drunkard out there on the front stoop of the gas station, they're easy to witness to, aren't they? Because after all, we can have it in our thoughts that we're doing better than they. But what about the executive that comes out of the building? He's got a suit and tie on, and maybe he's 6'3" and looking sharp and looking good from the standpoint of the dress and way of the world. What about him? He still needs the witness too, doesn't he?
Amen.
He does. They all do it.
Amen.
They all need it. Those that we're close to, those that we're close to in our family and maybe neighbors and folks we work with from day to day. I understand that we can allow ourselves to get so close to people that we are afraid to witness to them. That can happen to us. It's happened to me. I've been there. I know what it's like. But you know what? We need to still. We need to. Well, it might affect my job. Yeah, I know that. But the Lord's called you to be a witness. He's called us to be a witness. What am I to We've got a dispute with my neighbor about the boundary line, and it might just rile them up towards that. Yeah, I know that, but the Lord knows all about it. We need to be a witness to them. He might sock me in the nose. Yeah, I know that. Brother William Peacock, he was at a gas station. He was over pumping gas, and there's this guy rode in on this motorcycle with a couple others, big old burly guy, and he's all got his vest on and his leathers on and all that, and looking rough. And the Lord said, go over to that man and witness to him and give him a track. He said, Lord, look how big he is. Look how big he is. He'll drive me in the ground. I told you, go over there and talk to him about me and give him a track. Okay, he goes over there. Mister? Yeah. I just want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ and that we're sinners and we need a Savior and you need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ just like everybody. And here, I'll give you this to read. He said, the fellow almost cried. Said, thank you. And shook his hand and looked at that and held that and thanked him again. Then he goes in there, and I don't know if it was the same store or not. I don't think that it was, but he goes in the grocery store and goes there, and there's this little short gal behind the register there, and she's an older woman, and he says, he goes through there, and I guess maybe he didn't get anything at the store, and he just kind of puts a tract there on the counter, said, ma'am, read this when you get a chance, and just kind of fleeting by, and he said, she picked it up, said, oh, you dirty so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm going to take this thing, but I'm not reading this trash, I'm going to wad this up, and I'm going to throw it away. She made a big ordeal about it. He said, no, don't throw that track away. He said, he about got in a scuffle with her. See, he thought the big guy would whip him. And then the little woman there is the one that threw the fit. But may God help us. We need to witness to all of them, don't we? We do. We need to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And that's what the Apostle Paul was so convinced and convicted to do. Verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. You know, that's the only way we're going to be able to do it is with the help of God. Get up in the morning and say, Father, give me the strength, give me the words, give me the insight, give me the vision to see the people around me and talk to them about the need of their soul. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Says Agrippa, you know what Moses says in the book. You know what the prophets say in the book. And I'm preaching nothing different than what they said. I'm going in there and showing that is Christ. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer. That Messiah should suffer. See, that was the thing that the Jews missed. Messiah was going to come and whip up on their captors and whoever they were under captivity of, reestablish the nation, and Israel was going to be restored to her former glory again because of Messiah. But they missed him coming as Savior. He needed to come as Savior first, and the scriptures are right there. Right there. I think it's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I think that's it. Isaiah 53. If I understand it right, the Jews have a terrible time reading that. They avoid Isaiah 53. Because it shows a suffering Christ. Because it shows that it's a contradiction to them. They're looking for a mighty Redeemer coming to save with power and glory. And there's all kinds of passages that talk about that. But when comes Isaiah 53, oh, it troubles them so, as I understand. Because who's it speak about? Jesus of Nazareth, doesn't it? Jesus of Nazareth. And it troubles them so. Verse 23 of Acts 26, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. What is it that he said to him over here in verse 8? It all is about the resurrection. Yes, Jesus needed to come. Yes, he needed to die. Yes, he needed to be buried. Oh, but it was necessary that he raised from the dead, because it's the only way that it could be that one would raise from the dead. He had to be God and have the power of God. Right. We've said many times, who can say, even though I'm dead, I'm still in control? Who can say that but the Lord? Right. And that's what it took. That's what it took. He had to have the power of God. He had to be God and yet be a man, that he could be a sacrifice fitting, meet, and appropriate, that could accomplish the sacrifice needed for our sins. That Christ should suffer, and they should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, the Jews, and to the Gentiles, to the whole world. To the whole world. The purpose and plan of God from the beginning is that salvation would be heralded to every nation, every tribe, and every people.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Old Festus, he's hearing this stuff. No doubt he's over there squirming around in his seat. He's looking over there and seeing Agrippa, Bernice, and their reaction to it. We don't know what it is other than those things that are said here. And I tell you what, you know, we might hear the same thing when we go witnessing. You know, it's one thing to just go say, to go to somebody and say, we're all sinners and we need to be saved and you need to repent of your sins and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord can use that because it's the truth. There's no heart in that, is there? You get to telling about how the Lord saved you, and depending on who it is you're talking to, and how much you've prayed and how much you may be concerned about their soul and grieve for them and their need of salvation and that, you may talk to them, and it's not for the sake of emotion, folks, but if it's real to you and it's a concern to you and you love them so and you desire for them to be saved, their need may touch you as you're trying to tell them. Amen.
Amen.
Because hell's bad.
Right.
An eternity separated from God. It's not like a day in detention.
Right.
It's for real, isn't it?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
The soul separated from God forever. Blackness and darkness forever. Hell and burning and brimstone and fire and torment and torture and the memory there forever, forever, forever. Right. It's for real.
Amen.
And that's where sinners are going to go if they don't have the Lord as a Savior.
Right.
And we need to tell them.
Amen.
The Lord lays somebody on our heart and we pray about it and we really get disturbed about it from the standpoint of being a good witness to them, we may get choked up. But they need to know that we're telling them because we love them.
Amen.
Because we've got a concern. Because we've got a concern for their soul. Tell them as much. You know, I love you. And I'm concerned about your soul. If you died, what would happen to you? You need Jesus. You need to repent of your sins and believe the gospel and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for you that you will.
Amen.
That's all we need to say. We need to say it. Who's going to be a witness to them if we're not? Amen.
Amen.
We need to be a witness to them. That's what Paul, he did. And as he thus spake, verse 24, for himself Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Like the little woman when Brother William threw that fit. Said, you're crazy. And you're trying to wad this thing up. He said she made just a big deal about taking that track and wadding it up and making sure he saw she threw it in the trash can. He said he went around the counter to try to fish it out of the trash can. She was keeping him away from the trash can. He didn't want to see that track go in that trash can that way. And sometimes we may get that reaction. But don't hold a grudge against him. Forgive him. And pray the Lord might take it. Who knows what the Lord would do. Festus, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Verse 25, but he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. He didn't take it as an offense, did he? You know, we need to realize, one thing that we need to realize, a brother said this years ago, and it's really stuck with me. Those that are not saved, those that are pursuing after sin, those that are wayward, are victims of the enemy, folks. Think about that. They're victims of the enemy. They're following after the way of Satan. They're victims of the enemy. They're victims of sin. They're victims of depravity. Yes, they are responsible. I know that. But they're blind. They're dead. And they need somebody to go tell them. Even if their reaction is bad. We've got to go tell them. I'm not mad, most noble Festus. He didn't say, I'm not mad, you jerk. He called him noble. He said, most noble Festus, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I'm just dealing with things how they are real, how the Lord tells us that things are. Words of truth, words of soberness. For the king knoweth, verse 26, of these things. Agrippa, you know of these things, before whom also I spake freely, before whom I also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things about Jesus were hidden from him. For this thing about Jesus was not done in a corner. You know about it. You know about it. You heard about it. You heard the rumor that went about that the Jews gave big money to the Roman soldiers because the body wasn't in the tomb anymore. And those crazies that followed around with him said that they saw him and he rose from the dead. You heard about how they hushed that up. You heard about how the whole city was so stirred. You heard about all the priests that went and believed in this Jesus of Nazareth and were saved. Many priests. They were up there, the word got around when the veil ripped from top to bottom. They saw it. They heard about it. Their other Levites told them about it. We were there. We were getting the sacrifice ready, getting stuff all ready. And he goes, you're doing whatever was Passover and all that. And there goes the veil, top of them. You know how thick that thing is? They talk. Don't we talk? We talk about everything we find out about, don't we? They did too. And he said he knew about the thousands that were saved and that went this way of Jesus of Nazareth. He heard about it. He said, the king knoweth these things, before whom I speak freely. For I persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. No secret faith is there. No secret gospel.
Right.
But it's open out there for the world to see. Tell you what, if you can keep your salvation a secret, you can keep it a secret for long, something's probably wrong.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Something's probably wrong because what happens on the inside is going to work out. It can't help but get out.
Amen. Right.
The Lord likened it to a living spring, right? And you can't dam that spring up for long. It wasn't done in a corner. No secret gospel. King Agrippa, verse 27, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest the prophets. His reference from preaching what Moses said and preaching what the prophets said and showing that it was Christ. You know the prophets? As a king, he's urging him pretty good, isn't he? You know the prophets? Of course, we don't know the tenor of his voice. It's not conveyed through the scripture. But he urges him again. He said, you know what the prophets say? You believe them? I know you believe them. Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest that thou believest. Verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I didn't look up the scriptures, but I trust you know that they are there. I think the Apostle Paul talks to the Corinthians about how he's called and he looks to persuade men. He says, do I now persuade God or do I persuade men? And he's talking about there, he's talking about the things that he suffers and how the call of the Lord is upon him. And what the ministry is that he engages people to be a witness to them that they might hear, that they might believe, that they might be saved. He knows who it is that saves. But he goes and as his calling is, and he's the mouthpiece about the words of God. As it said, you all have heard it said, so we're the only Bible some people read.
That's right.
Because they don't pick it up and read it. Folks know the world doesn't pick it up and read it. To look for salvation. Sometimes we're the only word of God. We're the only truth about the gospel that gets carried to people.
Right.
We're it. And like I said, if we don't, who's going to do it? It's not going to be the Church of Christ.
Right.
The Methodists, the Presbyterians, you pick it, the Catholicism, it's not going to be them. It's been given to us.
Right.
And we need to tell folks about it. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why is it that someone would say such a thing? John chapter 3 tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know how it was when the Lord dealt with you about your need of being saved, need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to trust in him. You need to believe the gospel for your sins and for your soul. Believe God's promise and what he's done. And you have nothing yourself that you can offer God.
Right.
No payment for sin. You're doomed. I was doomed. You call out for mercy from God that he might save. Remember how it was? We said, I don't want to give up this sin. Yeah. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. So that's a thing. It's a dynamic of the Lord working amongst us. That's just that way. Yeah, the Lord's all powerful. That's a reason one sinner was saved in the first place, is because God's powerful. But it happens here in time, and the Lord deals with us in our person in that, and we say, well, that means I'd have to give this up. I remember talking to a young man here, it'd been about a year ago. And he said he knew he needed to be saved, but he didn't want to give up drinking with his buddies. He knew he needed to be saved. He said, the word of God is speak, but I got it. That's the reason he wanted to talk with me, because he didn't want to give up his drinking with his buddies. Why is it that one would give an answer like this? Well, turn over to Matthew 13. Here's why. Matthew chapter 13. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We can't persuade any man as far as the doing of the deed. We don't save souls. We don't save sinners, do we? We don't. We don't. But we're the instrument to carry the word, to carry the gospel.
Right.
And we should do it well.
Right.
We should be versed in the scriptures so we can tell them about what the scriptures say. And we should be able to each one of us as we engage folks, may the Lord help us that we would be filled with the Word of God enough to be able to deal with a little bit of gainsaying. Amen? A little bit, be able to deal with a little bit of doubt. Because I doubt it. I thank God that there were those that the Lord put around me to take my doubt and shut it down with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Yeah. So we need to be prepared that way. So we persuade men from the standpoint that we engage them and we speak to them and we deal with the doubt, the gainsaying. We deal with it from the Word of God and how the Lord used the Word on us and circumstances and situations. The Lord taken us and how he cornered us to tell them about that. And so in that sense, we persuade them. And we should seek to do our best at it. But how is it that a man would say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Well, Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord said that. That means that when we're a witness to folks and they just kind of give you that blank stare, they may be this kind of ground. They may be that roadside. Satan comes right in there and scoops it up. Takes it away. And I tell you what, in recent times I've come to see that that's just evidence and a witness to us that we need to be pitching it back in there more. Yeah, we need to be pitching it back in there more. Because Satan, in the case of this old hard roadway type of ground, is able to come in there and take it away. Verse 20. But he that received the seed in stony into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. I think you might find Agrippa there. If I'd follow after that, I'll not be king anymore. Would that be a thought he would have had? Yeah. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, ooh, look at the shape he's in. He's bound by a chain before me. Boy, what he's saying sure sounds good, but I'm going to have to give this up. I'm going to have to give that up. See, when it's a thing, when you're dealing with something, when you're talking to somebody, you have occasion to witness folks, you hear about, or they're talking about, you know, they seem to be troubled by the word, and they seem to be stirred by it, and things brought to their attention, but the talk is, well, I might have to give this up. Like that one man that I told you about, he said he's going to have to give up drinking with his buddies. See, when it's like a trading kind of thing, you pray the Lord to keep on working on them. Because that's what it is. They're saying, I got to give up. I got to reform. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Second kind of ground. Third kind of ground, verse 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful, never bears any fruit. Maybe that was Agrippa. Almost. Almost. That boy sure sounds good. Jesus of Nazareth does sound like he's the fulfillment of all those writings of Moses and all the writings of the prophets. Verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Tell you what, folks, there's the tillage of the Lord. Amen? There's the one that the Lord has got a hold of, chosen to do so, and works on them, squeezes them, gives them a heart of flesh, and gives them faith to believe. They say, I love it, I want it, I believe it, it's mine, he did it for me. I'm the sinner that needs the saving. And praise God, Jesus did it for me. Now you and I, we don't see all that, do we? So, what are we to do? Sow the seed. And don't be picky and choosy about to whom.
Amen.
But sow the seed. Amen? Sow the seed. Back in Acts 26. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. I wish all of you would be saved. I wish all of you would believe. He heard the words of the king and he said, yes, that's what I want for you. I want you to be a child of the Lord. I want you to be like Christ. I want you to be redeemed. I would to God. He says, I pray God will do it. And you'll be saved. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. I tell you what. I like to pray that all those that the Lord brings to the services that are not saved, that the Lord save them all. Well, I pray for one, amen? Pray for all of them, the Lord get a hold of all of them. That's what Paul did. He said, not just you, Agrippa, but everybody. Amen. I wish the Lord would save all of you. Save all of you. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except being in this chain. I wish you would be saved. The Lord would save you. And be touched like the Lord has touched me. But not be a prisoner. That's what I desire for you. Do we know and do we understand that prisoners held before governors and before kings would most always be unruly, rebellious, fighting against their incarceration, and would likely never be in a situation where they would seek good of the one that they would seek the good of the one that they would stand before? Don't you think this guy is blowing their mind? Yeah. He's saying, I don't have the problem. He said, you've got the problem and you need help. And I pray God will help you. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Boy, what a witness. What a witness. Verse 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them, they'd had enough. Huh? they had enough of this. It's getting too close. Right? Somebody would witness to you. With me, it was the messages. Everywhere I went, the message was like, it didn't matter who was in the place. The preacher got up there and preached. It didn't matter if it was in Missouri, went to Illinois, went to Ohio. Didn't matter where I went. They were like preaching. It's just them and me. And they preaching to me, preaching to me, preaching to me. Oh, when the Lord was bringing me under conviction and convicting me that way. Oh, boy. And just get out of here. Get away from this. The thing is praise God, couldn't get away from it. Amen? Because it was in here. It was working in here. The Lord was pricking and moving and convicting.
Amen.
And praise God for it. They rose up and they got out of there. Verse 31. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. So this man's not guilty of anything. And then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Too bad he did that. Because evidently when you did it, it was a done deal. If you appealed to Caesar, You were gone. You were gone. Of course, we know that's by the design of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins and believe the gospel. The death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, for your soul, for your sins, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be cleansed, so that you can be washed white as snow.
Amen.
You need him.
Right.
Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need you.
Amen.
But you need him.
Amen.
And you know what? He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, said, I will give you rest.
Right. Amen.
Are you tired of your sin? Are you tired of being in doubt? Are you tired of the wrestling within? I pray the Lord is just touching you and slaying you and convicting you and tearing you up with his Amen. Word. I pray that that's the case. I pray if you're here and you're not saved, that you are miserable
Amen.
From the Lord. That's good. That's what you need.
Right.
You see that you're the sinner that needs saving, and that Jesus, that he did that for you, and that he lives for you. Will you receive it? The Lord's salvation on the Lord's terms. That's the way it is, isn't it? Not our terms. Not reformation. Salvation. A visitation from the Lord. Amen. For we are saved. May God help us and stir us and move upon us that we individually might be a better witness for our Savior. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to do. That we might be a good witness to those that we come in contact. That even if it's few words, that we would say something unto them about their need of the Savior that has saved our souls. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. That's what we're called to do. That's what we've been commissioned as a church and as children in this church to do.
Right.
And if we're not doing that, if I'm not doing that, I'm not obeying my Lord.
Right.
That's what we need to do. The salvation, conversion of Saul, and the Lord's call upon him to the ministry that he called him to do. Why would we take a look at it? Because we need to see the pattern. We need to see the example of the way this man was a witness so that you and I can be a witness to a lost and dying world around about.